We turn in God's Word this morning to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 28. Deuteronomy 28. We'll begin reading in verse 15. And we'll read through the end of the chapter. Deuteronomy 15. Through the end of the chapter. This is God's holy and infallible Word. Given to you. Give your attention to the reading of it. Deuteronomy 28, beginning in verse 15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, or be careful, do all his commandments and his statutes that I command you today, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field, cursed shall you be shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Cursed shall be the fruit of your womb and the fruit of your ground, the increase of your herds and the young of the flock. Cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will send on you curses, confusion, and frustration in all that you undertake to do, until you are destroyed and perish quickly on account of the evil of your deeds. Because you have forsaken me. The Lord will make the pestilence stick to you until he has consumed you off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. The Lord will strike you with wasting disease, with fever, inflammation, and fiery heat, with drought and with blight and with mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. And the heavens over your head shall be bronze, the earth under you shall be iron. The Lord will make the rain on your land powder. From heaven dust shall come down on you until you are destroyed. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. And you shall be a horror to all the kingdoms of the earth, and your dead body shall be food for all the birds of the air and for the beasts of the earth. And there shall be no one to frighten them away. The Lord will strike you with the boils of Egypt, with tumors and scabs and itch of which you cannot be healed. The Lord will strike you with madness and blindness and confusion of mind, and you shall grope at noonday as the blind grope in darkness. And you shall not prosper in your ways. You shall be only oppressed and robbed continually, and there shall be no one to help you. You shall betroth a wife, but another man shall ravish her. You shall build a house, but you shall not dwell in it. You shall plant a vineyard, but you shall not enjoy its fruit. Your ox shall be slaughtered before your eyes, but you shall not eat any of it. Your donkey shall be seized before your face, but shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given to your enemies, but there shall be no one to help you. Your sons and your daughters shall be given to another people, while your eyes look on and fail with longing for them all day long, but you shall be helpless. A nation that you have not known shall eat up the fruit of your ground and of all your labors, and you shall only be oppressed and crushed continually, so that you are driven mad by the sights that your eyes see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and on the legs with grievous boils of which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. The Lord will bring you and your king whom you set over you, a nation that neither you nor your fathers have known. And there you shall serve other gods of wood and stone. And you shall become a horror and a proverb, a byword among all the peoples where the Lord will lead you away. You shall carry much seed into the field, and you shall gather little, for the locust shall consume it. And you shall plant vineyards and dress them, but you shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worm shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout your territory, but you shall not anoint yourself with oil, for your olive shall drop off. You shall father sons and daughters, but they shall not be yours, for they shall go into captivity. The cricket shall possess all your trees and the fruit of your ground. The sojourner who is among you shall rise higher and higher above you, and you shall come down lower and lower. He shall lend to you, and you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. All these curses shall come upon you and pursue you and overtake you till you are destroyed, because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes that he commanded you. They shall be a sign and a wonder against you and your offspring forever, because you did not serve the Lord your God with joyfulness and gladness of heart because of the abundance of all things. Therefore you shall serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you in hunger and thirst and nakedness and lacking everything. And he will put a yoke of iron on your neck until he has destroyed you. The Lord will bring a nation against you from far away, from the end of the earth, swooping down like an eagle, a nation whose language you do not understand, a hard-faced nation who shall not respect the old or show mercy to the young. It shall eat the offspring of your cattle and the fruit of your ground until you are destroyed. It also shall not leave you grain, wine, or oil, the increase of your herds, or the young of your flock until they have caused you to perish. They shall besiege you in all your towns until your high and fortified city or fortified walls in which you trusted come down throughout all your land. And they shall besiege you in all your towns throughout all your land which the Lord your God has given you. And you shall eat the fruit of your womb, the flesh of your sons and daughters whom the Lord your God has given you, in the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you. The man who is the most tender and refined among you will begrudge food to his brother, to the wife he embraces, and to the last of the children whom he has left, so that he will not give to any of them any of the flesh of his children whom he is eating, because he has nothing else left. In the siege and in the distress with which your enemies shall distress you in all your towns. The most tender and refined woman among you, who would not venture to set the sole of her foot on the ground because she is so delicate and tender, she will begrudge to the husband she embraces, to the son and to her daughter, her afterbirth that comes out from between her feet and her children whom she bears. Because lacking everything, she will eat them secretly in the siege and in the distress and with which your enemy shall distress you in your towns. And if you are not careful to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and awesome name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will bring on you and your offspring extraordinary afflictions, afflictions severe and lasting, and sicknesses grievous and lasting. He will bring upon you grain all. He will bring upon you again all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they shall cling to you. Every sickness also and every affliction that is not recorded in the book of this law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed. Whereas you were as numerous as the stars of heaven, you shall be left few in number because you did not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And as the Lord took delight in doing you good and multiplying you, so the Lord will delight in bringing ruin upon you and destroying you. And you shall be plucked off the land that you are entering to take possession of it. And the Lord will scatter you among all the peoples from one end of the earth to the other. There you shall serve other gods of wood and stone, which neither you nor your fathers have known. And among these nations you shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot. But the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and failing eyes and a languishing soul. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, "If only it were evening." And at evening you shall say, "If only it were morning." Because of the dread that your heart shall feel and the sight that your eyes shall see. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for the sake of your enemies as male and female slaves. But there will be no buyer. These are the words of the covenant that the Lord commanded Moses to make with the people of Israel in the land of Moab, besides the covenant that he had made with them at Horeb. As far as the reading of God's word, may he bless it to us. So, what does your sin deserve? What does God think of your sin? How does it make him feel? Now, we know that God is not pleased with our sin. We confess in the Heidelberg Catechism that God is terribly pleased with displeased with our sin, and he's going to punish them in just judgment in time and in eternity. Yet even though we know this, we struggle to really understand our sin from God's perspective. We look at other people's sin, and most of the time it doesn't really bother us that much. Sure, we can get upset at times and sad or offended by sin, but a lot of times we're only mildly annoyed or laugh or enjoy it. We have a hard time understanding God's wrath due to sin. Well, God gave us Deuteronomy, the Mosaic Covenant, to help us with this very thing. Through Deuteronomy, God reveals to us what sin is. By the law, we are taught what God demands. As well as through Deuteronomy, God discloses the fervor of his wrath and displeasure of sin. God declares what sin deserves from a holy and just God. And no place better shows us the wrath of God better than Deuteronomy 28, the curses of the covenant due to disobedience. Now, Deuteronomy 28 opened with the blessings of the covenant, what Israel would earn by their total obedience to the law. Now, these blessings of the covenant created a veritable paradise in the land of promise. They brought abundance of everything good and enjoyable, many healthy kids, the best produce of the land, peace from enemies all around, and wealth beyond compare. In their fullness, the blessings of the Sinai covenant truly brought a piece of heaven on earth. If Israel kept the law of the covenant, obeying all that God commanded them, then he would lavish the blessings upon them. However, God appointed this temporary arrangement of blessings based upon obedience under the Mosaic for a purpose: to direct Israel and us to heaven, and to the positive and active obedience of Christ, who earned heaven for us, his people. Yet, the Lord did not just put blessing before Israel for obedience. He also set before Israel curses for disobedience, as the much longer section of Deuteronomy 28 vividly makes clear. But again, the Lord did this for a purpose. Whereas the blessings encouraged obedience and pointed to heaven, the curses discouraged disobedience and pointed to hell. Whereas the blessings brought heaven on earth, the curses brought hell on earth. Of course, as we shall see, this aspect of the covenant also directs us to our Savior. Now, the long litany of curses begins in verse 15, but Moses is doing much more here than just listing curses. He is preaching to Israel, warning them that they are legally under the curse of the covenant. Moses makes clear that the curses are conditional. They're based on Israel's obedience. The curses begin with this reminder in verse 15, "If you will obey the voice of the Lord." Israel brings curses upon themselves then when they fail to keep the terms of the covenant, when they break God's law and statutes. Israel must remember that these curses are punishment and judgment for their sin and wickedness. They deserve the curses, for they sinned against their covenant Lord. And they were, and the Lord, and Moses reminds us of this several times throughout the curses. The curses, then, as punishment for Israel's lawlessness, is additionally illustrated, though, by the fact that it is the Lord who pours out and sends the curses upon the people. Look at verse 20. It says, "The Lord will send on you the curses." He is the Lord and sovereign King of the covenant. Therefore, He has the right and the duty to punish His people when they break the covenant, when they sin against Him. Thus, throughout the curses, it is the Lord who is the subject of the verbs. He is the author of this horrible malediction. He is just and right in doing so. Well, after reminding Israel that the curses are conditional, based on their keeping or lack of keeping the covenant, Moses goes on to describe the nature of the curses. Now, he does this in several sections, but the first we find in verses 16 through 19, where he demonstrates that the curses are the opposite of the blessings. In verses 3 through 6 of Deuteronomy 28, the Lord said that for obedience, He would bless Israel in the city, in the field, the produce, and so on. But here, the exact opposite happens. The exact words flipped is used for the cursings. Thus, if blessing is the experiencing of God's favor and abundance, the cursing is the opposite, God's disfavor and lack of everything. Yet, no matter what they do or where they go, they will be cursed. The curse here, you'll note, is personified, as if He's an agent or a servant of the Lord to bring misfortune upon the people. The curse will hound Israel like the grim reaper, a dark agent of misery. As it says, and again in verse 15, "The curses shall come upon you, they shall overtake you." Truly the Lord will reverse the fortunes of His people from enjoyment to misery. Well, the next section goes on from verse 20 to verse 44. And in this section, the Lord impresses upon Israel that the totality of their existence will become futile, troubled, agonizing. First, it says the Lord will send His curse, confusion, and frustration, which will pursue them until they're destroyed and perish. This is a key aspect of the curse. It is relentless. Like a hungry and tireless predator, it will chase them down until they are consumed. It is the hounds after the fox. It foams at the mouth for Israel. But there will be no relief, no respite, for the curse is inescapable. Notice all the ways in which the curse hounds them. It hunts them first through disease and sickness. Like gum stuck on the bottom of your shoe that won't come off, so also pestilence and disease will stick to them, never coming off. A contagious epidemic will sweep through them. Seven various diseases are listed here in verse 22, causing pain, irritation, and misery. Tumors, boils, itches, hemorrhoids, and sores will cover them from head to foot. They can't walk due to the sores on their feet, but they can't sit down due to the boils on their rears. All kinds of sin disease will plague them. There will be no cure for them either. No vaccine, no medicine, no relief. The curse also hunts them in nature. Where the promised land was a land flowing with milk and honey, it will become a desolate wasteland. The sky will be like bronze and the earth like iron. No rain will fall on the ground, and the ground is like metal, impossible to dig your shovel into or to grow anything with. The only rain that will fall will be dust and fine sand. Volcanic ash will fall with the sound of hail on a car hood. The vegetation will be scorched. The sun will be veiled and the people will be parched. Then the enemies come against Israel and rout them. Israelite warriors will fall in battle. The fields will be painted with the blood of their young men, but no one will come to bury them. The scavenger birds will eat their carcasses, for the people are too weak to chase the birds off. This is a gross sight, an even worse shame. They will be so oppressed and crushed that they will become a byword, a curse, a proverb among the nations. That is, they will be an object lesson, an example of not to follow. Don't do as Israel did. You remember what happened to them. So horrendous will be their suffering that they will go mad, crazy, insane. Their mental state will become so unstable they'll grope around in midday like blind men, not knowing what to do or how to do anything profitable. Additionally, the futility curses will come upon them. That is, young men will become engaged to a fair maiden, only for her to be ravished by another. Grooms will see their brides raped and carried off. Families will invest in building a home and planting a vineyard, but they will never get to enjoy them. Instead, enemies will steal all that they have away. The foes will raid Israel's cattle and sheep, only to butcher and feast upon them before Israel's eyes, as Israel watches with hunger pains. Parents will have children, but they'll never grow old to get to know them. Their kids will be kidnapped, taken away into captivity and slavery. The parents will not know if their kids are dead or alive. All that Israel worked for and loved, their enemies will rob from them for their own enjoyment and pleasure. And in all of this, Israel will be helpless. They will have no Savior, no one to aid them, no one to strengthen them, to defend them. And if things couldn't get worse, they do. Then the Lord will send upon Israel plagues. Massive swarms of locusts will invade their land. This is a devastating plague. It's figured that a large swarm of locusts can eat in one day what 1.5 million people could consume at the same time. Indeed, the sky will turn black. The air will roar with the buzzing of the insects. There'll be nowhere to hide. What their enemies do not take, the locusts, the worms, the grasshoppers will eat. All the labor they did in planting seed and pruning the vineyards, but they will have nothing to eat. Truly, the curse of the Lord is an oppressive hunter, plaguing them with misery in their bodies, their land, and their possessions. They will only be oppressed and crushed continually. However, the curse has not yet quenched its lust. The curse is a glutton who just keeps on devouring. The Lord continues in this third section, beginning in verse 45, to now deal with Israel's total defeat by a mighty and far-off nation. Again, in verse 45, Israel is reminded that their obedience is what brought the curses upon them. This is what sin deserves. The Lord, as their sovereign King of the covenant, is right to bring upon them the curses, to act according to the terms of the covenant. For Israel failed to serve the Lord, to worship God alone. Instead, they went off and they worshiped idols, gods of wood and stone. Thus, the Lord will send them into exile, and that they will only be able to serve these worthless and powerless gods. They wanted the idols, and the Lord will give them to them. Thus the Lord will bring upon them a nation from afar, who is powerful and swift in battle, who are cruel and brutal. All their warriors are like Goliath. This hard-faced nation will then invade their land, consuming all of Israel's crops and herds, and then they will besiege Israel in their walled towns. However, this nation will be so relentless that the sieges will not come to an end until the walls of the cities crush. Yet, locked up in their towns is when the curse strikes particularly hard. So bad will times get during siege that the people will revert to cannibalism. Even the most pampered and refined men and women will do it. Those women who wouldn't even touch their foot to the ground in fear of getting dirty will turn on their own children. Lacking everything, mothers will hoard and eat their own children in secret and even their afterbirth so that they don't have to share it with anyone else. Truly, the torments of hell have been loosed upon the people of Israel for their disobedience. Well, the last section of the curses Moses gives us in verse 58 to further add to the misery and the suffering. After being totally conquered by this far-off nation, now the Lord will reverse the Exodus, the patriarchal promises. Once again, in verse 58, he reminds Israel that the curses have come due to their disobedience to his word. Therefore, the Lord will bring upon them the misfortunes of old. He will return upon them those horrible diseases and afflictions of Egypt. He will reverse their fortunes so that even though they were once as numerous as the sand on the seashore, now they shall dwindle only down to being a few. As the Lord once took delight in doing good to Israel, as a father delights to give gifts to his children, now he will delight in bringing ruin and destruction upon them like a gladiator loves to crush his opponent. The Lord will scatter them over the nations as chaff in the wind, with no God but those of wood and stone. He will cast them out of the promised land that they once enjoyed and loved. The Lord will remove their rest and peace, placing upon them restlessness and anguish. In exile, their eyes will fail, their hearts will tremble, their souls will languish. So miserable will every moment be that they will long for the next one, only for it to be the same. Truly, their lives will hang by a thread. It will get so horrid that they will end up back in Egypt, selling themselves as slaves. They will end back up on the doorstep of that house of slavery from which the Lord redeemed them. However, where Egypt used to not want to let them go, now they won't even take them back as slaves. They'll be like refugees begging to go back to a work camp, but they will not be taken because they'll be so weak and frail. Yes, these are the curses of our sovereign God given in the Mosaic Covenant. Truly, they paint a picture of misery unspeakable. However, there are a few other key aspects to note about these curses. You probably noticed how there was somewhat of a repeating refrain about how the curses would seek Israel until they were destroyed and perished. The curses sought their death. Nevertheless, the curses do not end in death. Besides, the misery and affliction is so horrible and so wretched that death would be welcomed at such a time. And this is where the curse finds its greatest sting. It does not end. The chapter does not end at the moment of death with some sort of comment, at least there'll be rest in the grave. Rather, it ends with Israel suffering, lost in the world, without God and without hope. And in this, we clearly see how this pictures for us hell, where torment and misery will be everlasting, where physical, emotional, psychological, and spiritual misery will come together in one unbearable pain, never to end. Well, having painted before our eyes the dark and grotesque portrait of the Mosaic curses, it's good for us to be reminded that this was all of our God's good and sovereign plan. As it says in chapter 29, verse 1, these are the terms of the covenant that God made with Israel on the plains of Moab, which are a renewal of the same covenant made on Mount Sinai. Truly, the Mosaic covenant is one of law, where blessing and curse was based upon obedience to the law. Therefore, even though God makes clear in His Word that these Old Testament saints were saved by faith as they looked forward to Christ, we can still find ourselves wondering, why Moses? Isn't it a bit cruel? Isn't all this curses a bit cruel for a God of love and mercy? Well, no. For our God is also a just and righteous God, whose holiness is a consuming fire, not tolerating any sin or impurity in the least in His presence. Therefore, God ordained this arrangement under Moses as a warning to Israel and to us, to warn us of the eternal and torturous consequences of sin. Yes, beloved, in the curses of Deuteronomy 28, we see in vivid and dreadful terms what our sin deserves. This is how God feels about your sin. This is how a holy and just God rightfully punishes our sin. This is how wretched and wicked our idolatry and lust are. For we are all in the same boat, having fallen in Adam and being dead in our sins and trespasses. We are under God's curse, and all of our sins deserve this fate. Whether our sins are small or great, seen or unseen, we deserve the curses of eternal punishment. Thus, dearly beloved, let this picture of God's curses impress upon you how much you need a Savior. How serious it is to be found outside of Christ. Truly, Jesus Christ is your only Savior, our only hope, and our only way of escape from such curses. And there is no Savior besides Christ. Indeed, may your heart be filled with love and awe, knowing that this wretched curse listed for us in Deuteronomy 28, this curse which we deserve, is exactly what Christ suffered for you on the cross, so that you don't have to. Certainly, the death of our Savior is no light matter. When Jesus cried out, "Oh my God, why have you forsaken me?" Jesus was feeling the unquenchable and eternal pain of hell, pains as they are listed out here. Like the curses of Deuteronomy 28, Jesus suffered horrors, pains, and afflictions that were unimaginable. This is the wrath of God that Jesus Christ suffered under when the world went dark and the earth quaked. Indeed, it is no wonder that our Savior was sweating drops of blood when He went to the cross. He knew what was before Him, the curses of Deuteronomy 28, to be forsaken. Yes, Christ suffered all of this, which we deserve, and which He was innocent of. And He did it because He loved you. He bore it for you. There is no greater love that Christ suffered these curses so that you might have life in Him as a gift through faith. And by undergoing this cursed death, He did satisfy God's just and holy wrath so that now you are united to Him by faith so that there's no condemnation for you. You no longer deserve these sins or these curses of Deuteronomy 28. You're free from them. This judgment's passed. And you are declared beloved of the Lord, the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, do not let these long list of curses of Deuteronomy 28 cause you to despair, but may they drive you to look to Christ so that you might know how much He suffered for you to make you the children of God. Indeed, Jesus Christ suffered to the point of death. As a lamb led to the slaughter, He suffered the curses of Deuteronomy 28 so that you, deserving them, do not have to suffer the curses, but so that you might be heirs of eternal life now and forevermore. Amen. Let us now pray. Glorious Father, we thank You for Your wisdom. For as we sit here and we read Your curses, our hearts, our stomachs feel nauseous for how gross and painful they are. The misery that is laid out in this long list of curses truly makes us squirm, makes us turn our eyes away, makes us want to stop reading and to close Your Word. But Lord, this is how You feel about sin. You who are so holy that Your eyes cannot look upon sin, You who dwell in inapproachable light and holiness, You hate sin. It makes You nauseous. It makes You seasick. And You cannot endure it, and You will not. Lord, this is what our sins do to You. But You loved us enough that You sent Your Son, Jesus Christ, to satisfy Your justice and to die as a propitiation for us, so that in Christ You might be both just and the justifier of the ungodly through faith and by grace. Lord, we thank You for this great salvation. For Lord, if we had to suffer these curses, truly there'd be no Savior, no way for us by ourselves to overcome, to be delivered. But Lord, where we are unable, You provided Jesus Christ, who was able and who is able to save us to the uttermost and to keep us for glory. Thus may this truth be vividly impressed upon our hearts so that we might remember, so that we might delight in the love of Christ, knowing that this was the pain He suffered on the cross for us, knowing that this is what we deserve, but He bore it in His own flesh so that we don't have to. Thank You, O Father. Truly the Lamb of God is worthy. And we give You praise, O Jesus Christ, as our one and only Savior. And we pray that You would continue to keep us delighting in the gospel and walking in the light of the gospel to bring glory to You until that day when You come again to bring us to glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.